endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, friends. We've got a lot to cover this morning. And as always, I just want you to know that I'm glad that you've taken time to listen in on the message. Many of you have now established in your own lives a matter of, well, this is the time I'm setting aside for hearing the word. And that's great, but we need to expand. We need to get more people listening. I received an email this week, and it was an email of encouragement, but I was reminded that I was, quote, preaching to the choir. Well, yes, the choir needs to hear. The preacher needs to hear. Faith, a system of belief based on the truths contained in God's word, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But we need to reach more than the choir. So please tell your friends, your family, your acquaintances about this hour on Missouri Liberty Radio and about the website GodSendUsMen.com. Someone you know needs to learn about the things that we've been talking about. And as many of you know, my ministry has been geared toward helping those who are already seeking the kingdom, to point them to truths that they may have never seen or may have never considered before. Sometimes I meditate on whether I'm missing something in my own life, and whether this potentially viewed lack of compassion is something that I need to repent of, or whether it's godly indignation that has basis in the scripture. But I'm sorry if I'm wrong, and maybe someone out there has some scripture they'd like to direct me to help me with my own system of belief. But right now, I'm having all sorts of problems overcoming. And again, maybe I don't have anything that I need to overcome. But I look at the U.S. with all its moaning and groaning over this coronavirus hysteria, and I think, you're getting exactly what you have asked for. This is what you deserve. And frankly, I don't believe this, quote, crisis is real, but for a lot of people, it's been at least disruptive and at most caused panic. But listen, America, and I'll try to be as compassionate as I can in case I do have this problem that I need to overcome. But America, you are an enclosed people with fences and borders to keep you in. You are not a nation in the correct definition of nation, but you are a people that has voluntarily chosen to be made up mostly of freaks, perverts, cowards, God-hating, sodomite-loving, nature-defying, abominable misfits. You have created to yourself a society that not only rejects God's laws. I mean, it would be one thing to look at a set of laws, a choice, and just say, well, I'll choose these because I think they make more sense to me. Then instead of just leaving it at that, they have to go on and speak against, rule against, disparage and impugn, mock and openly defy the laws of God that they decided to leave on the table. Then their, quote, spiritual leaders enable the people to choose their own laws by telling them that God has done away with his laws anyway. God himself has decided for man that God's laws are no good and should be replaced with man's superior laws. So it's very difficult for me in a time of such crisis, whether real or imaginary, to have compassion on the freaks and perverts who have brought it all on themselves. The bad thing is, because our theology, our faith, our system of belief has not been pure, those of us who truly want to be followers of Christ, those of us who truly want to be the people of God, because we have not understood the implications of the teachings of the Messiah, we now find ourselves among people that we should have no business being among. A headline in the news yesterday was the deaths had skyrocketed in New Orleans. Well, New Orleans, you just finished another round of your Mardi Gras festival where you once again stick your fist in the face of Yahweh and blaspheme his name. So, well, I'm sorry that you're reaping what you've sown for so long. You've sown to the wind. Now when you reap the whirlwind, it's hard to feel sorry for you. Spikes in New York City? Well, you know, their world is in crisis mode, panic mode, and where it should have no effect on us at all, we are affected, and some more than others. Hopefully, most of God's true Israel has been trying to live that way, even in our current situations and places of rest, and we will have escaped most of the slop the pigs are throwing around right now. For instance, the laws of God, the perfect will of God for his people is this. Let's put two and two together for one example as to how true Israel can protect itself even when living among people we should not. All right, Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. All right, the Lord Jesus, Yeshua, said, no man, and I do not believe this is something that applies only to the first century. No man means no man. Today, yesterday, tomorrow, no man can serve two masters. That's number one. Number two, Proverbs 6:7. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. So the Lord said, no man can serve two masters. If you try to, you'll end up hating one and loving the other. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is servant to the lender. Okay, this is not hard, follower of Christ. We are not to be in debt. Well, what if we are in debt and we did so out of ignorance? Okay, the Bible has an answer for that. 1 Corinthians 7:21-22. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Now watch this, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 7. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. You know, I get so happy when I hear from brethren who say that they're doing everything they can to get out of debt. I mean, I've got a really good friend who's very close to achieving this, and I know that when that day finally arrives, there's going to be so much joy and relief in his heart. If you're in debt, do whatever it takes to get out of it. I remember when I was young, 17 years old, and I tried to get my very first car. And I was going to do just like everyone else did. I mean, I was going to go finance that car. Well, why not? I mean, that's what everyone else does. So off to go to get my first real adult education. I'm going to, quote, buy this car, and it's going to cost me X amount each month. Okay, didn't seem so bad, not so unreasonable. But then I find out I'm going to have to get insurance. Okay, not only that, full coverage insurance. And even at that very young age, 17, I had already been developing in my faith, my system of belief, that insurance was not something I felt totally lined up with the Word of God. For instance, get in a car wreck. Well, who do you call? Well, God forbid your house burns. Who do you call? Tornado blows the roof off your house. Who do you call? I've said this before. Why is it that almost all the insurance companies name themselves after the attributes of God? When some crisis comes in most people's lives, the first call they make is to their insurance company. Who needs God? The insurance company will save me. The insurance agent has provided an umbrella of protection. The insurance agency has replaced what should have been the work of God in our lives. All right, let's switch gears for just a minute. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 10. I want to get to verse 29, but as it is many times, I look up at the verse above, then keep going, and it's all so good. I just end up going right to the first verse. So let's look at verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Well, my goodness, friends, I'm telling you that most preachers that I've heard my entire life have not gotten this passage correct. They've tried to say that the door to this sheepfold is Christ, and the sheep are the ones going through this door. But it's exactly the opposite. Watch, verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. It's the shepherd that comes through the door. It's not the sheep going through this door into the fold. Watch verse 3 really closely. Inside the door is the world. Look what's going on here. There are all kinds of sheep already in the fold. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. The concept here is not to be in the sheepfold with all the rest of the sheep. There are sheep in this fold that God's sheep have no business being with. What does the shepherd do? Well, the porter, the gatekeeper, opens the door to the shepherd. Then the shepherd calls the sheep by name, and he, the shepherd, their king, leads them out. This is one of the greatest lessons of the kingdom found in the Gospels, but has been so overlooked because most do not understand that come out from among them and be ye separate is an essential part of the gospel. This is what we're seeing here. It's the sheep all in the same sheepfold with the rest of the world. And the shepherd king goes into the world and takes his sheep out. The shepherd is not leaving his sheep with the rest of the flock. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Sadly, because we have so missed the point of this parable, we've been following the voices of strangers, whether they be churchmen, politicians, scientists, insurance agents. We've been listening to strangers all our lives, and the voice of the stranger has not been calling us out of the sheepfold, but has been doing everything it can to keep us inside the sheepfold and to prevent us from following our king. That's the reality. That's the truth of this parable. Can you really tell me that it's okay for God's sheep to listen to the voices of the, quote, shepherds that have been leading the world's flock? I'm telling you that as I sit and have sat in chains and handcuffs in front of these people who are trying to force me into their sheepfold, I don't hear their voices. They may as well be speaking Chinese or Russian to me. They're sitting there trying to talk to me or treat me as one of their sheep, and I do not hear their voice. Praise be to God. Oh, how that's blessed me so this morning. I don't hear their voice. They're strangers to me. I will not follow them. I know not the voice of strangers. friends, brothers, and sisters, I'm telling you this morning that this is so real to me. I wish I could I could make you all understand fully just how real this is to me. I'm a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. I have a king, the Holy One of Israel, and his voice is the only voice that I can hear. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Well, I hope we understand today. Today, we're without excuse. Aren't you seeing this today in a way you may have never seen it before? Didn't you used to think that he was the door to the sheepfold and we were safely inside? No, the shepherd came to the door and called his sheep out and said, "Come and follow me," and they obeyed. The strange voices are clearly speaking of anyone and anything that comes into our lives in any other name, by any other authority. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And that's the exact same language we use today. By what name? Or let me put it another way. By what power or authority have you done this? Show me your license. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name, by the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There is no other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth no man to no man in the power of his authority. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach, because Jesus gave them the authority to do so. Anyone or anything that says anything to you, if their authority is not coming from the king, they are strange voices we are not to follow. To follow those voices would be to cease from following our King. That's the story of John chapter 10. Let's continue. John 10 verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Now, he's changing the parable just a little bit. The next part of this parable is nothing like the first part. Now he gets to calling himself the door. Verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." All right, now listen. The sheep are no longer in the sheepfold now. By the time we get to this part of the parable, the sheep have left the sheepfold and they are following the shepherd king. And if you want to be part of his flock, you have to come through the shepherd. All right, let's go on. Verse 10. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." There are so many words that get tossed around the world today that are just dead giveaways as strange voices for me. And one of those words is in relation to, quote, being a preacher, or being, quote, in the ministry. In last week's message, I called out a, quote, church in Springfield because they had gone to the city and asked for, quote, blessing to have their little church service. Well, that should not have bothered me the way it did. I expect it. I mean, they're doing what they do. They're extensions of the state. They receive their power to exist from the state. So, of course, they seek the state's blessing to have their get-togethers. But it does anger me because, as it is today, the overwhelming majority, by far, not even a race, by far, the people in the world today believe that the, quote, church and the churchmen are the voice of God, when nothing is farther from the truth. But when I read passages such as this one in John chapter 10, and it uses the word hireling in relation to the shepherds, this needs to be pointed out to all that will listen. The hireling is the dead giveaway that the shepherd is false and more than likely is shepherding his own herd of wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, in and of itself, there's nothing bad or evil about being a hireling. A hireling is one who works for wages. But when it comes to being a shepherd of the flock, as in the ministry, the work of the gospel, it goes against every Bible principle for the man of God to be a hireling. We do not work, we do not do the work of the gospel for wages. It is not a profession. It is not something we do because there's financial reward in it. Indeed, the laborer is worthy of his reward, yes. Indeed, the minister of God should have his needs met. But he doesn't do what he does because there is a potential for money. In Isaiah's day, he had this to say about the shepherds who were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. This is Isaiah chapter 56, verse 8. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, besides those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. On the website for this large, quote, church in Springfield, they have a page called, quote, Career Opportunities. As a staff, we know that our work here is not just a job, but the calling on our lives to make ministry our career. Quote, church is a business. It's a job. It is the definition of hireling in the negative usage that Christ speaks of in John 10 and in Isaiah, that Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 56. I told you before that on the, quote, employment application of this, quote, church, which I'd be safe in saying is more than likely the norm rather than the exception, one of the first things they ask is whether or not the, quote, applicant is a U.S. citizen. Well, friends, if that's a requirement, then I've got news for them. Jesus Christ himself would not be permitted to hold a, quote, job at this church. If it looks like a business, talks like a business, sounds like a business, has forms like a business, is listed in the business section of the, quote, Secretary of State, then it's a hireling masquerading as a shepherd. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. In a different message, we saw this as the fulfillment of Ezekiel 37. Voices saying otherwise should be considered strange voices. Voices telling us that Jesus, Yeshua, did not fulfill all the prophecies, that all the prophecies were not fulfilled in him, should be strange voices to us. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. And why hear ye him? Others said, these are not words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. So up until this point, they danced all around the idea that through this parable, Jesus, Yeshua, was telling them that he was the Messiah. He was the promised one. He was the one who fulfilled the law and the prophets. He was the shepherd king, the holy promised one sent to fulfill the Davidic covenant of the rule of the Messiah. Verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you remember, I went to John chapter 10 after talking about myself as a 17-year-old boy, worrying about whether or not I should have insurance, whether or not I should follow a voice that seemed strange to me. And I told you that I was seeing how that most all the insurance companies were naming themselves after attributes of God. I can't imagine after looking at this John 10 passage that we can't see a company like Allstate whose slogan is, you're in good hands with Allstate. How that's not a voice that's trying to call us away from my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I guess just call me a simpleton, small mind if you will, but I couldn't see myself getting a piece of Prudential's rock, knowing, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of Yahweh, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Who has corrupted themselves? Maybe people who call themselves the rock. Maybe people who want to take the place of the shepherd. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. I'm telling you that from my perspective, the way I see things, the insurance industry, among others, has caused people to lose reliance on Yahweh the Creator and depend on the good hands of Allstate and the Rock Prudential, or like a good neighbor State Farm is there, or the Hartford, as the deer panteth for the water. So if I'm right about this industry called insurance, which, by the way, if you do a study on the history of insurance, I mean, you'll quickly find its origins with the Chinese and the Babylonians. But if I'm right about this, then I'm right about the fact that when a man borrows money and goes into debt, the next thing that comes along is usually a requirement from the lender that the borrower then purchase insurance. So if insurance is following a strange voice and debt is following a strange voice, then it seems as though we're now walking a completely different path from which the shepherd is on. It's like the debt. Once it gets started, it just leads us on to do things that we might never otherwise consider to do. Our job is to follow the voice of the shepherd, follow the footsteps of the shepherd. But I might not have a job. I might not have a place to live. I might not be able to feed the family. Well, don't you realize that the shepherd knows more about his own sheep and their needs than the shepherd themselves know? With all the ridiculous hysteria that's going on around us now, I told my wife, you know, there's basically one thing I've been concerned about this week. And I was really concerned. But thank God he came through for me again, and my worries have been subsided. normally at this time of year, I'm not even thinking about the need for cutting the grass. But as it turns out, we've had an overabundance of rain. Then we had some nice sunny weather in between the sprayings, of course. And so the grass was getting high. But I had a tire on the lawnmower that needed to be fixed. And I wasn't sure I could get it fixed. But I did. And I got the grass cut. Praise the Lord. All my worries were in vain. With all that's going on in the world today, my biggest worry was getting the grass cut. Look, I've told you before, I'm not rich as far as worldly possessions are concerned. The truth is, according to the world system, I'd be considered not below the poverty line, but buried under it. I don't have much by way of their currency, but I have no debt. We don't need, even living among the sheepfold where we have no business being, we don't need much. So if the world is experiencing rough times financially, New York Times headline, March 26, 2020, it's a wreck. 3.3 million file unemployment claims as economy falls apart. When you aren't in debt, when the rough times come, it makes it a lot easier to get by. Even the world, they can apply the teachings of Christ even without accepting him as shepherd, savior, and king. Even if they did not have debt, they'd be much better off than most are today. This is what I was talking about in my messages a while back when I talked about times where God's people acted like it. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we need to be talking like, acting like, trying to be citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel who will apply the laws of God to our own individual lives, whether anyone else around us chooses to or not. Yes. We needed to have followed the shepherd out of the sheepfold when we had the door open to us. When the new nation was established in the clear teachings of 1 Peter 2, we should have run through that door that hung on those foundations. But for whatever reasons, we in our generation did not do it. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God had before showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. I get it. We've been told all our whole lives that the prophecies have not been fulfilled. And if you believe the prophecies have not been fulfilled, your perspective and understanding of the scriptures is going to be way off. I get that. But now we can see far more clearly. We have to take the blame off of the J.N. Darbys and the C.I. Schofields and the Spurgeons and the Sundays and the Grahams and the Falwells and start looking at ourselves as to why we're still sitting right here in the same sheepfold with the same lost sheep that the shepherd opened the door to and said, come and follow me. We need to ask ourselves, how long are we going to continue to sit here when the shepherd king has provided an open door to follow him? Come out from among them and be separate, and I will be their God and they will be my people. Inside the sheepfold, the robbers and the thieves are leading the sheep, blinding their eyes to the door, keeping them from finding the way. Well, I hope up until this point you've noticed that I haven't said much about the quote invisible enemy that caused the land of the free and the home of the brave to cower in the corner and board up the doors and windows of their homes because they're so scared. The truth is, I had gotten many pages into preparing for today's message when I just thought to myself, boy, you sure seem to be preparing this thing by yourself. And I didn't like the way that shoe felt. Oh, I had statistics put together to show how I believe the numbers are not showing that this is some real pandemic crisis, and that's all overblown, and I absolutely believe that it is, but I decided to scrap every bit of that. There's enough of that out there that if people want to go look at it, they can find it. But I do not believe that the issue is, quote, the virus. I've told my wife for weeks now that there's more to it, much more to it. I believe that it has a lot to do with Bill Gates quitting whatever his position is with Microsoft last week. And maybe it's why over 300 more CEOs of the world's most powerful corporations also resigned in 2019 and 2020. I'm not going to get into much of that today. Again, you can study it for yourself, but I am going to tell you this. There is not going to be a rapture. There is not going to be a second coming of Christ. There will be no Savior riding a white horse with a vesture on his thigh, a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God. That event has already occurred and is not happening again. Now, let's hope that there are people who gather themselves together unto a supper of the great God. And those people are carrying a vesture high with a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If God's people will obey his voice and be his people, then it is very possible, highly possible. In fact, I think it could almost, I could almost make a 100% guarantee there just might be a real invisible enemy that makes himself known to this world that will do everything we had ever hoped would happen had he come back to this earth in physical form like he already did in AD 70. He does not have to be here physically like he was in the first century in order to show his might and power to and through his people. All it takes for his people to be his people. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. But friends, the problem is we aren't acting like his people. He said, I will build my ecclesia and the gates of hell will not prevail against his ecclesia. Well, where is his ecclesia? Not just in the world, not just in the world today, but even among those who call themselves Israelites. We still think that ecclesia and church are one and the same. They aren't, not even close. Ecclesia is government. It is God's government on this earth, revealing itself through people who claim citizenship in his government. They are citizens of his nation, and that nation has a name. Last week, we talked about Isaiah 45:20. I showed us how chapters 42 through 45 are clear prophetic looks into the new covenant world which we live in right now, whether we want it or not. And of course, I realize that just about everyone who's listening to my voice right now is desirous of this. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Friends, this is what the Savior, the Shepherd, the King was doing in his parable in John 10. When the porter opened the door, he said to the sheep, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together. I'm here to help you escape the nations. I'm here to rescue you. I'm here to lead you, just like Moses led your fathers out of Egypt. I'm here to help you escape the nations again. His sheep were mixed in with the nations inside the sheepfold, and he was there to help them escape. In quite a few of my past messages, I've pointed out how that all the words, including the word gospel itself, which I didn't even know that until a few months ago, but even the word gospel itself is a political term. Assembly, assemble, those are political terms. In its most simplest understanding, yes, it means to gather together, but in its fullest understanding, an understanding that harmonized with all the rest of Scripture, it means coming together for the purpose of establishing civil government. Christ, the Shepherd King, came into the sheepfold and told his sheep, assemble yourselves, come, follow me. We're establishing a new nation with a new government, and I, your shepherd, will be your king, and we will follow my Father's laws. I showed you in the past how that a lot of the, quote, state legislatures in America call themselves a General Assembly. Now theirs is for the purpose of establishing their secular government, of which Yahweh God of the Bible has no place. They've made that very clear. When the dust settles from this latest round of psychological warfare inside the sheepfold of the world, and it will settle, maybe not as soon as most would like it to, but it will settle, I believe that we will once again be given an opportunity to be and act like the people of God that we're supposed to. After 9/11, the world was drastically changed. The world was not the same after the events of 9/11. While 9/11 did in fact affect the whole sheepfold for the most part, 9/11 affected what is called the U.S. in the greatest amount. The events of beginning of what is called 2020 have already affected the entire world. And I've been saying for weeks now that there is more to this than a virus. There has to be. The numbers don't add up. There's something happening behind the scenes. Well, it's time to man up. It's time to woman up. It's time for God's people to get ready to stand. I wish I could call us to assemble, but it may be that we have to stand alone. But we are going to have to stand. My message this morning is not going against Ted's message. Ted and I have very little that we do not agree on. And Ted's message this morning is a challenge that we're not to live in fear. And I believe he's right on. The scriptures are clear. But Bill Gates officially left Microsoft, a company that he built back in 1975. He left Microsoft officially on the 13th of this month. Why? Because in his demented mind, his timing has come. I can't seem to find exactly when his new initiative launched, but everything I'm reading has this thing starting well before the year 2020. At least I think the website was built maybe in 2018, but there was a UN conference on ID 2020, as in Identification 2020. Back in 2016, but it's called ID 2020. They have a website. It's called id2020.org, and you can research more on your own there. But they're deeply concerned about the fact that there is over 1 billion people in the world today who are unable to prove their identity. Imagine that. You can't prove your identity. Well, first of all, I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And I hope that with all that I've been going through here, you can see how ridiculous all that is. A man needs to, quote, prove his identity? Think about it. I need a piece of paper to prove that I exist? Is that what you're saying to me? It's not enough that I'm standing here, flesh and blood. Can you see me? Well, you can hear me. You can touch my skin. But I need to be able to, quote, prove my identity? Well, reading from the ID2020.org website, here's what it's really about. Okay, nothing that I haven't been telling you for a long time now, but here's the number one plank of what they call their Alliance Manifesto, quote, one. The ability to prove one's identity is a fundamental and universal human right. All right, in the Bible, if for some reason, which I can't even think of, I mean, maybe if someone was wrongly accused of something, I guess, but by what means would a man prove his identity? Deuteronomy 17:6, at the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Matthew 18:16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. 1 Timothy 5:19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Hebrews 10:28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. But in Bill Gates' world, he has envisioned what he has envisioned will begin in 2020. He has decided that plank two, individuals need a trusted, verifiable way to prove who they are, both in the physical world and online. All right, and plank three, over 1 billion people worldwide are unable to prove their identity through any recognized means. Well, interestingly enough, of course, because you don't recognize God's laws, you bunch of idiots. Continuing, as such, They are without the protection of law and are unable to access basic services. What? Yeah, exactly. Why are they without the protection of law? Because they're not operating according to the right law. They're listening to the voices of the thieves and the robbers instead of the voice of the true Shepherd King. Continuing, as such, they are without the protection of law and are unable to access basic services, participate as a citizen or voter, or transact in the modern economy. Most of those affected are children and adolescents, and many are refugees, forcibly displaced, or stateless persons. All right, now, what is his solution? Well, we all know that Bill Gates has been on a vaccine crusade for many years. He's been very vocal about this for a long time. I'm sure you've all probably heard about his infamous statement about depopulating the world through abortions and vaccinations. But I believe this ID20 thing of his is his end game. And God's people must say no. We must not listen to this voice. He's using this supposed coronavirus pandemic, whether real or imaginary, and you know my position ad nauseum on it, but he's going to use it to try to make the, quote, governments of the world to force people into this ID 2020 abomination that he's developing. This is not a piece of paper. This is not the, quote, real ID, both things that God's people should have stood against years ago. And by standing against, I don't just mean lip service. I mean, no, I'm not taking it. Then do what they say. Don't take it. Whether we have escaped the nations or not, no means no. But ID 2020 is not a piece of paper. It's a microchip. And no, this is not the mark of the beast that already took place in the first century. But, and hear me, I've been trying to tell people this for a long, long time, at least 35 years. It is not the mark exclusively that the people who lived through the book of Revelation were required to abstain from. It was the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that was the spirit of Antichrist was to be exposed and was not to be taken. ID 2020 is one of the most, if not the most, openly Antichrist agendas that I have seen in my entire life. And just like the Social Security number, or maybe even more so, a man will not be allowed to transact business in public unless he can prove that he has taken his vaccinations. The information stating such will be on this microchip. Friends, this is not some sci-fi movie for the year 2050. This is called ID 2020, and it is hand in hand with the devil Bill Gates' vaccination agenda. I will not be surprised if this is what the end game for all this virus mania is about. The maniac left his official position at Microsoft this month. Do you remember all the hysteria last year over the measles pandemic that was supposedly sweeping the country and specifically New York? Well, it's funny that how that's no longer being talked about, except for one little obscure detail. The detail is that New York, because of the supposed measles outbreak last year that mysteriously seems to have disappeared, passed a, quote, law that the, quote, religious exemption for not taking vaccinations has been legislated away. Well, how convenient. So have they already removed the, quote, religious exemption for their ID 2020 microchip implant? Well, that's going to be very interesting. Am I telling you these things because I want to scare you? Not at all. We as followers of Christ are not to live in fear. Fear is a result of unbelief, and unbelief is sin. It is not to be in our lives. I'm trying to get us to man up, woman up, child up. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall Yahweh do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Have we been keeping our end of the bargain? No, we have not. We have not been his people. We have not escaped the nations. But do we want to? Absolutely. He's giving us another chance. He's at the door right now calling his sheep. Now's the time to escape the nations. Now's the time to prepare ourselves, to gird up our loins, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. No, you aren't going to force us to violate the laws of God. No, you aren't going to get us to defile our bodies with your evil devices. No, even though we're still in the sheepfold, we're not going to follow the voices of the thieves and the robbers any longer. Then if we will obey in the smaller things, such as this, by our obedience in the small things, maybe the Shepherd King will lead us to the pasture that we're supposed to be in. I see these days are offering tremendous hope. The only hope for the world is a return to the God of the Bible. That's it. The politicians are not going to save anyone. The insurance agents are not going to save anyone. The scientists are not going to save anyone. Satan, Bill Gates, is certainly not going to save anyone. It is the Shepherd King who came through the door to call his sheep out of the sheepfold who is the Savior. And I don't hear anyone in that sheepfold even speaking about the God of the Bible. In closing, if I have enough time, and I think I do, I want to play something for you that Michael sent me a link to this past week. This is Neil deGrasse Tyson, the world's most famous astrophysicist. He was on some late night talk show the other night, and this is what was said.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest is the director of the Hayden Planetarium at the American Museum of Natural History, the host of Cosmos, and is my favorite astrophysicist. Please welcome Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil!
Good to see you again.
Thank you.
Okay, Neil, spoiler alert, you're a scientist.
Indeed.
And legally, I am required to ask you your thoughts about the coronavirus.
Oh.
And I understand you're not a virologist, you're not an immunologist, you're not an epidemiologist, but I suspect...
I'm an astrophysicist, Jim!
I suspect you have an opinion.
A point of view, I would say.
Okay,
I would say. So, I'm broadly scientifically literate, but what I will say of this virus, I think we're in the middle of a massive experiment worldwide.
And that is, where are the guinea pigs?
Maybe. The experiment is, will people listen to scientists? In this case, referring to medical professionals?
Medical professionals.
In this particular case?
Say Anthony Fauci over allergy and infectious disease.
For example, yep. And are you washing your hands? And are you taking these precautions? These are warnings offered by scientists.
And for our own good.
For our own good.
Really? This is an experiment to see if we will listen to the scientist? Sure, you're the idiots that told us the world was created by a Big Bang, that all this came from absolutely nothing. I mean, you're the idiots that told us that a little something crawled out of the water one day. Of course, you didn't really tell us where the water came from or where the little creature came from, but that little creature crawled out of the water one day and decided it needed legs, so it grew some. Then after millions of years later, here we are. I mean, you're the idiots that told us that, and now you're the ones coming along to pick up the pieces from the coronavirus pandemic, whether real or imaginary, and the best you can come up with is we're the ones who told you to wash your hands? Really? Arrogant, good-for-nothing slime? You didn't tell anyone to wash their hands. God did. And he did it a long time before anyone even thought of something called an astrophysicist. And by the way, when I think of Astro, I think of the Jetsons' dog, not some brilliant mind that gives me the knowledge to know how to exist. Even the people who refused to call him king simply obeyed his laws concerning cleanliness that he put into place hundreds and hundreds of years ago. There'd be far less sickness than they do today. But they'd still have it, of course. But I don't think it'd be as routine as it is today. Eat filthy pigs and catfish, crawdads and lobsters. You got to be kidding. Why do you stop there? Have you scientists told people it's perfectly fine to eat armadillos or possums? Roadkill? How about that? How about dogs and cats? Why not throw in rats and mice there as well? You guys, in all your brilliance, have done everything you can to make people inside your sheepfolds believe that there is no God. But no longer. We aren't going to be silent any longer. It's time for God's people to be the voice of God. It's time. It's past time. And if you try to force us, those who want to escape but haven't been able to reach the door yet, we're no longer going to play. We're not just going along to get along. Friends, this is serious, serious business. In the first century, when the mark of the beast took place, the Bible says those who received the mark were damned. But what if it means we can't buy or sell, if we can't prove our identity and prove we've had the shots? Well, I'd love to know how it came to be that we're somewhat better, or we have less requirements on us than those did who went before us. How did that happen? The Bible records that there were some who would not take the mark. They did not take the mark, and they lost their lives for it. Sadly, had we escaped the nations like we were supposed to have a long time ago, we wouldn't even be faced with this. But we haven't. So now we have to face it. Are we going to stay true to our King, even though we haven't escaped the world's sheepfold? Or will we listen to the voice of strangers? I'm not talking about gloom and doom. I'm offering the greatest hope this morning the world has ever had. The Shepherd King is once again standing at the door, assembling his sheep, calling them to follow him through the door, out of the sheepfold, and into the pastures of his rest. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, lays the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children. Through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all. In the
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.